dead gladiators. Do you ever wonder what they did with the bodies of the gladiators after they removed them from the Colosseum? I mean, it's one of the things that those garbage issues that you have to contend with. I think most people think that they would probably either burn them all, or there was a mass grave, or whatever. But the Romans have a whole series of different things that they did with the people who were killed for entertainment purposes. So I'm going to kind of start at the high end and work my way back down to the absolute lowest possible way of dealing with you. Now, the very highest classes of gladiators, you have to understand that during a gladiatorial contest, you would have a morning session in some cases, and those would be good gladiators, and then you would have around noon, where everybody's eating or whatever, you would have the low-end people fighting, and then in the afternoon, you would do some more of the big-name gladiators. And so the people that start in the morning and then end in the afternoon are usually much higher quality. The ones at noon are the lowest level, so they're going to get worse treatment. So let's look at the highest classes. There's a rare few that are actually given the standard high-profile funeral. Now, of course, it depended on how famous you were. Someone such as Flamma or some of the other really high interest gladiators would probably receive this. And of course, they made lots of money, not only for themselves, which would, of course, give them the option of having purchased a place to be buried if something happened to you, but they also made a lot of money for other people, the people who bet on them, and of course, their not stable, but the group of gladiators that they worked with, and the promoters. So these gladiators actually received the same kind of funeral treatment as the elite Roman citizens would. The body would be covered with ointment. They would lay on a bier for several days, covered with flowers, so people could come by and pay their respects. Then the body would be cremated, and the ashes would then be buried in a grave. But that's really only for a select few. Now, still in the upper echelon, you have the gladiators that would have been part of what is called a collegium. Now, a collegium, the best way to translate this is kind of as a gladiator's union, if you will. And really, the main reason for being a member of a collegium was to have a place for your body to be taken after you were killed, as well as probably better treatment, better food, and there are other things that go along with it. But having a final resting place is important. You could either have a grave with a little gravestone that listed your feats, in which they do find, or perhaps there's a niche in a communal burial area where the urns with your ashes could be put. And this is what you would do: is each gladiator in the collegium would provide money to the group, and that money would then go to buy an area where these people, when they died, would be put. Now, the neat thing about the communal area is a communal burial site would allow the relatives of literally the whole union membership to come and mourn not just an individual, but a whole group. You know, you think, well, gladiators don't have families. Well, yeah, some of them do, and that would be nice. Then you get out of that group, you get into what is the most basic ritual. Now, normally, the Romans believed that if a dead person was not covered with dirt, they were doomed to walk the land of the living forever and never receive eternal peace. Now, you could survive that. You didn't have to dig a hole and stick them in. The minimal version of burial for any Roman would have been somebody to take three hands full of dirt or sand and sprinkle it over the body. That would allow the soul to get release and not have to keep wandering around. It's not a wonder the Romans were kind of wild on ghosts and things. Now, then we get to the lower levels of disposal, if you will. Now, let's start with the highest end of the low. Now, the government historically had denied criminals a burial, particularly murderers. The belief was a murderer forfeited their rights and place in society. And that meant that their death they didn't have any rights that society gave either. So normally criminals, particularly murderers, were tossed into a ravine outside of the boundaries of the city of Rome, and they just let animals and nature deal with them. It's usually not very far from a road. I would imagine you travel that very, very quickly. So this is what you would end up. Now, what you end up with is the Romans had always punished people who murdered their own family members by performing a midday execution and then tossing the bodies from bridges and docks. Now, this was considered even more humiliating than being tossed in the ravine, because everybody watched you being humiliated. There's actually a couple of emperors that end up this way. The most famous one is Vitellius, who only emperor for 3 months anyway, was tortured to death in 69 AD, dragged by a meat hook. By the way, the term meat hook is of importance because during a gladiatorial contest, the good gladiators were dragged out the gate of death in snares and other assorted things that gave them a lot of dignity. The people who were killed during the mass slaughter at noon, they just stuck them with meat hooks and dragged them out. There wasn't any ceremony involved. So using a meat hook on the body was actually a form of rubbing it in and just saying, well, you're the lowest form of person there is. And then, of course, tossing it in the Tiber River. So if you were a decent gladiator and not famous, they'd toss you in the ravine. If you were not very good at all, then they would toss you into the river, which, of course, I always feel sorry for the people who live downstream from the city of Rome, you know, floating, going, you're going out to get water or whatever, and there are gladiators floating by. And not exactly the greatest thing for your, for your water supply. Now, at the low end of this, we have two groups. One is if you're just a regular criminal. The lowest thing could happen to you is they just toss you into the animal pens. They just throw you in, and the animals would beat the living daylights out of you until you were killed, and then they would eat you. That's obviously not a positive. And then we have to deal with the Christians, because although the Christians are really martyred, remember the Romans don't do anything in the Colosseum that's not considered entertainment. So martyring people is a form of entertainment. Well, the Romans are very aware of the Christian idea of resurrection and burial. And so what they tried to do, of course, thinking of it in a physical term, for example, if the Romans believed that by not burying a Roman citizen, who of course was a pagan believer, their soul would not find rest and wander around, the Romans would think that, okay, if we don't bury them, that's one thing, but perhaps we should tear their body apart, which would make it difficult to come back to life. They couldn't figure out that this is a spiritual essence thing, not a body thing. So the Christian bodies were mutilated, frequently tossed to dogs, and then once the dogs were finished with it, the remains were then cut up into pieces. The body parts were then dumped at different remote places. In addition, if they're going to dump it into those type of areas, if you're going to throw it into the Tiber River, you would throw it in the different areas of the Tiber River. Or they would throw some in the ravine, some in the river, and some they would bury. And then some, if they burned your remains and the ashes were scattered all over the place in all these different spots. So there's quite a, of course, you can imagine this isn't probably the best job on the face of the earth dealing with this, but just imagine on gladiating days, and they do a lot of gladiating, and this is just in the city of Rome. You have this issue that has to be dealt with outside in other venues, but the number of people involved and the smell, you know, you can't really just, you know, the thought of cremating them, I mean, you'd have a gigantic bonfire, and you couldn't do it in the city of Rome anyway. You'd have to do it outside the community. And that's a bigger cost, because you have to provide the wood, and you have to do all sorts of things. So it's kind of an odd little thing, but it's something you don't really think about a whole lot. But, you know, yeah, well, what do we do with those people who were killed in there? Now, as far as sources for this, Gladiators, History's Most Deadly Sport by Meijer, and that's spelled M-E-I-J-E-R. This is my new favorite book on gladiating. Those Who About to Die by Mannix. Of course, the actual accounts come from a variety of Roman sources, Suetonius, Cassiodio, Tertullian, Juvenal. There are other accounts, and there's a lot of the discussion. There's pictures of gladiators on tombstones and all sorts of other stuff. And then Life and Death and Entertainment in the Roman Empire by Potter. Now, this book, The Gladiator's History and Most Deadly Sport, which is a book that I'm going to eventually use as one of the required books in my Western Civ class, the first half, is a really good broken down section by section on gladiating and chariot, and well, it's gladiating, but all sorts of different things. So I very highly recommend it. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, of course check out the CDs, and thank you very much.